ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु, मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति
शान्ति।
We'll chant the first five shloka mantras of Keno Upanishad, part one.
Keneshitam patati preshitam manah, kena prana pratama praiti yuktah, keneshitam vachamimam vadanti, chakshushrotram kavudevo yunakti, shrotrasya shrotram manaso manoyat, वाचोह वाचगुंसवु प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीरा वेत्यास्मालोका धमृता भवन्ति न तत्र चक्षुर्गच्छति न वा गच्छति नो मनो न विद्मो न विजानीमो यतैतदनुशिष्यात् अन्यदेव तद्विदितादतो अविदितादति इति शुश्रुम पूर्वेषाम् एनस्तद्याच चक्षिरे यद्वाचानभ्युदितं येन वागभ्युद्यते तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धिनेदं यदिदमुपासते
सो विचा In the last few classes, mantra 1 and mantra 2. Mantra 1 is where the student asks the question, what is that connecting everything and making everything sentient? Is it something inherent in them? Is it something apart from it? Or is it a product? For which the Guru brilliantly answered, he said, it is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, prana of the prana, mind of the mind, etc. So, he talks about the pure consciousness which is independent and all these are dependent. So, pure consciousness exists independently and these eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, mind, pranas, intellect, all are dependent on it. So the enlivening factor is the pure consciousness, that is the source, that is the independent factor. And being independent factor, it exists even without the support of any of them. Whereas all of these cannot exist without the pure consciousness. Therefore, that is what exists always. Since that is what exists always, that is the reality and that is your true self. So the wise people who have known this through their reflection and meditation, having taken the help from the Guru, they rise above all these equipments. The equipments don't persecute them anymore. They become absolutely free from the world, the pairs of opposites. They become changeless. Whatever happens in the world does not affect them. They realize that self and they become completely freed, is what he said. So actually, like I said, the Upanishad is over when he said Shrotrasya Shrotram. All the other things, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Shrotram ke baad, he said Manaso Mano, Vachoha Vacham, Pranasya Pranaha, Takshusha Shakti. All this is thing only, different angles. Then the next line, he says, Dhira, a wise person, rasa over all these equipments, identifies with the reality. So he doesn't become dependent on what these equipments offer. That doesn't mean he doesn't enjoy what these equipments offer. But he doesn't become dependent on them. Let it offer whatever it offers. He knows that all these are temporary and passing and fleeting. So thus he becomes absolutely freed. freed from the world, which means that dvandvas, the phase of opposites. Now, the Upanishad elaborates what it said in the second mantra. In the Bhagavad Gita, we said in the second chapter, whatever he said, he elaborates in the 3rd to 17th. Here, what the Upanishad said, that one line, Shrotrasya Shrotram, that the whole Upanishad explains. All. So, that is what it is. Upanishad is very cryptic. It is for the students who are extremely well prepared and they just need that little push. Those who need explanation, the Guru continues. So let's chant mantra 3. Natatra chakshur gacchati nava gacchati no mano navitmo navijanimo yataita danushishyat. Natatra chakshur gacchati nava gacchati no mano navitmo navijanimo yataita danushishyat. Natatra gacchati. Na tatra chakshur gacchati. Chakshuhu. Na tatra. Not there. Gacchati. Go. What? Chakshuhu. Means eyes. The eye cannot go there. The eye cannot reach that source. Earlier word said shrotra shrotra. Shrotrasya shrotra means what? First shrotram, which is ear, capital E, is the source. This ear is the product, end product. So that source is independent and pervades all this. So it is in this. This ear cannot hear without it. But that is independent. So with this ear, with these eyes, you can't reach it. That's what he says. Na tatra chakshuhu gacchati. Not the organs of speech. Nava gacchati. Na manaha. Na manaha means mind and intellect both. In this. Included. They don't mention more than one or two. So, when they say chakshuhu, all organs of perception are included. And when they said vak, all organs of actions included. There are five organs of perception and five organs of action. So, all the five organs of actions cannot reach there. All the five organs of perception cannot reach there. Then, not even the mind and the intellect. So when they say manaha means both mind and the intellect. Remember, mind, when the word mind is used generally, it can mean mind, intellect, ego, memory. Mano, buddhi, ahankara, chitta, they say. All these four, or mind itself could also just mean the emotions, the feelings, the indiscriminate pathway. So, manas means manas, buddhi, ahankar and chit. None of these can get there. Your intellect cannot help you to get there. Then we keep on saying develop the intellect, develop the intellect, develop the intellect. Why do you have to develop the intellect? You have to develop the intellect to see that this world cannot give you what you are looking for. You are looking for permanent happiness that this world cannot give. To be able to see that, you need the gross intellect. Then with a subtle intellect, you pursue the spiritual path. So organs of perception cannot get there. Organs of action cannot get there. Mind and intellect cannot get there. Your emotions and thoughts cannot get you there. Then the Guru makes a very interesting statement. He says, Na vidmo navi janimo. Na vidmaha. Na vijanimaha. We know it not. We do not know how to impart it. Yata etat anushishya. Yata etat anushishya. So, we do not know how to teach it. Guru clearly admitted, I don't know how to teach you. Look for another guru. But when a guru is saying, I don't know how to teach you, means he knows. And a fellow says, I know everything. Come to me. I know. He doesn't know anything. Here the guru is saying, I don't know, Baba. Leave me alone. He's not using this I don't know method as a technique so that he'll get more students. He doesn't want any single student, or he doesn't want no students also. I mean, he doesn't want no students, he doesn't want more students. He has no wants. That's the level Guru is in. So the I cannot reach that, nor speech nor mind indeed. We know it not. We do not know how to impart it. This word it and all is with capital I. You should please note that. Also, in the commentary, if you see Swamiji's book, he's put the word no in capital K, italics, and not italics, it's actually bold font. That is the crux. And he says, we do not know. We know it not. And we do not know how to impart it. Then he says we do not know it. What he means is, it is not an object of comprehension, it is a subjective apprehension. This object, this phone, is an object. Now, you can know it objectively. These eyes, you know it objectively. These ears, these sense organs of perception, sense organs of action, even the mind and intellect, you can know it objectively. So when you keep going backwards, even the mind becomes subject. Sorry, it becomes an object. The real knower is the subject. This mind, body, intellect, everything, senses, perception, action, everything, sense organs of perception, sense organs of action, everything becomes an object which can be known. Like that, you cannot know Atma. Therefore, objectively we don't know it, but subjectively we know it. And he says, we do not know it. He is saying we do not know it objectively. Anyone who knows it objectively means he doesn't know it. It's not an intellectual thing that you can grasp. It is a subjective becoming. This happens within you. It cannot happen externally. So, I cannot reach you there. But, seeing with your eyes, you will not reach there. Because you are external. So, that's why he says, na tatra chakshuhu. And the eyes are searching externally because internally there is a conditioning that what I am searching for is available, can be found in the world outside. So using the gross intellect, we need to eliminate that possibility. That yes, I cannot get it externally. I cannot get what I am looking for in the object outside. Then the eyes want to grasp it from the outside world, that thing will go down, that will reduce. Then the real search starts from within. So the equipments you have now are all redundant and useless when it comes to reaching the self. when to use in the world, they all have usage. But the moment you want to go in, you've got to leave them alone and go in. So that's why he says, Na tatra chakshuhu. Eyes do not go there. You can't see it. It is the consciousness that makes the eye see. The eye cannot see it. Like the, what is that equipment called? They used to grasp things. Tongs, is it? Something like tongs. They used to grasp something. Now, with that equipment, you cannot grasp your own fingers. With using your hands, fingers, you grasp that and grasp the object. But you can't use that to grasp the very finger that holds it. So this Atma is the subject. It cannot be grasped by the equipments, gross and subtle both. Gross and subtle both cannot help you. This body, the sense organs of perception, organs of action, emotions, thoughts, none of them can help you to know it. So therefore they said, we do not know it. We do not know it objectively. We do not know it in our head. Then, what does it mean? It means we know it at ourselves. In the Tattva Bodha by Adi Shankaracharya, when the discussion goes to Jivan Mukta, the end, almost the end, the discussion moves to Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta kaha? Who is this Jivan Mukta? The question comes. Then they discuss, and the Guru says, just like how now you know that you are a woman, you are not constantly remembering that you are a woman. I am a woman, I am a woman, I am a woman. You are not writing before going to bed in the night, and as soon as you wake up in the morning, you are not writing so that you remember in your subconscious, I am a woman, I am a woman. No. Even in your sleep, you will know that you are a woman. So, knowing that you are a woman, knowing that you are a Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, Brahmana, all this, you are not keeping in your memory. You know it. You are that. So he says, similarly, Jivan Mukta knows that he is not the body, he is not the mind, he is not the intellect, and he is Satchit Ananda. They don't know themselves objectively. They know themselves subjectively. So hence he says, we know it not. It here means Atma. Somebody goes and asks Swami Ramakrishna, is God Mr. or Mrs.? He says, God is neither Mr. nor Mrs. It is a mystery. We don't know who is God. Therefore, he says, we do not know it. Like I said, when a person says, I do not know, you grab hold of that guy. Whoever it is, that guy knows. We do not know it. And then we do not know how to impart it. Because how do you impart ocean into anything? Which, if I ask you, hey, come and take the entire water from the ocean. Hello. Jobi equipment you can take, whatever equipment you will take, will you be able to empty the ocean? You have to jump into the ocean. So we do not know how to impart it. You should get ready and jump into it. That's why if you remember, in the 4th chapter, verse 34, we discussed this. Tadvitti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshyanti sejnanam jnanina tattva darshinaha. So, tadvitti, know that, pranipatena, prostration, when you keep your forehead on the feet of the Guru, the energy transformation happens from him to you, her to you. It is submission. It is not conquest. It is submission. As long as with your intellect you go and say that I will know it, I'll grasp it, I've got it, I understood it, you don't know. When you say I know it, you don't know. So the Upanishadic students, they listen to the master, they go back, reflect and come back, and then they ask the Guru, is this what it is? He says, neti, 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 not that, not that. Then, what is it? The day the student doesn't come wanting to clarify, the Guru knows this guy is rich. Because if you are trying to know it externally, and whatever you know externally, that's not good. That's not the truth. And truth cannot be verbally communicated. The words of the Guru are only meant to chisel your ego. Once the ego is chiseled, then you partake the energy of the Guru. This is difficult. If you really want to know the truth, you have to get to that level. You just want to study Upanishad, know the meaning, just get into that intellectual kick a little bit, that's a different thing. But if you really want to experience the truth, then you have to be at that level of what he talks about. Otherwise, it's not possible. So that's why we do not know how to impart. You have to take it. Because the moment I say something, I compromise. It's not the truth. You cannot experience the whole till you dissolve in it. The moment you try to partake, you can only partake of the part. You can't take the whole. Are you getting it? It's very difficult to communicate all this by words. Guru himself has said, Guru Upanishad, the Guru has mentioned it. They do not know how to impart. They know how to really impart. That is why, like you strike the iron when it is hot. There's no point giving all these lectures publicly. Absolutely no point. The maximum appreciate the intellectual depth. That's about it. Also very few people. Bhagavad Gita is for the masses. Because it's diluted. That is for the masses. Upanishad is very difficult. They don't compromise. They very clearly, I do not know. We do not know it. We do not know how to impart. We do not know how to impart it because the moment I try to impart, it is like I am trying to communicate the infinite through the finite. How can I? And the communication equipment is vast. And whatever I have seen through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin is what can be communicated. And the truth cannot be seen, heard, all that we saw. Then how can I communicate? Whatever I communicate will be the part, it's not the total. So if you really want to know the total, you have to give yourself into it. It is merging, it is melting, it is dissolving, it is disintegrating yourself into it. Like the moment you put a salt doll in water, if you just touch it in the ocean, if you take a salt doll made of salt, and touch it, dissolves. The salt doll which had an individual identity dissolved in the total, and instantly it becomes ocean. So ocean cannot be imparted. You have to dissolve in it. the method with which we have always known is completely different method. That is why we say you need to have pranipatena, trust into the Guru. Prashnena, questioning what the Guru says to understand, not to doubt. And sevaya, service. It is basically dissolving the ego. It needs to eke out, to draw out. This self is within you. You cannot know it. You have to become it. So this conditioning, all this, you have to drop. You have to become nothing. You have to drop your PhD. You have to drop your attachment to the bank balance. I am this, I am that, YPO, all POs, everything drop. You know, when you go to the South Indian Mandir, first you have to leave the stuff outside, the mind and intellect. Then when you go into the sanctum sanctorum, that area, you have to bend and go. Even houses, if you see those days, the entrance will be very small. Not that they didn't know how to make a bigger entrance. You will bend and go inside. When you go inside, you drop your ego. Then only it will be home. It will be, otherwise it will be chaos. Now nobody is building all big, big houses with all. It's not just bending the head. It's bhavana that I'm talking about. That's the idea. That was the idea. Then you know, all that will not be there. It will be home. Otherwise it will be chaos. It is already chaos. That's why. But I know, I've studied, I'm PhD, I'm this thing, that thing. I've conquered this, I've conquered that, you've conquered that. So, this is why he says, we do not know how to impart it. I mean, saying that, he's imparted. He's imparted in the sense, he's actually communicated. See, the brilliance of this Guru is, by saying I don't know how to impart, he is already imparted. What is imparted? How you can know it? The secret has been told. Now, to know that secret, you need to jump in. Are you ready? It's not easy. Not everybody is ready for that. All the things that you are conditioned has to be dropped. Karna was a great giver. Mahabharata, you know, he was a great giver. You go and do puja to his father, Surya Bhagavan, in the morning. Anybody comes and asks anything, he'll do. Indra knows this. That's why to save Arjuna, he goes as a brahmana. Knowing that Indra is going to come and ask for his Kavach Kundal to save his son Arjun, Surya Bhagavan tells Karna in the previous night dream itself. He communicates it. Tomorrow Indra will come like this, don't give. To save his son, he is doing this. Next day, as he dreamt, Indra comes as a Brahmana. Ask for Kavach and Kundal. Karna says, I know who you are. You are Indra. I will give you still. And he still gives. And Indra gets so inspired by that. To save his son so that Karna could be killed. But he gets so inspired by this giving thing of Karna. His famous thunderbolt to Karna. Is he God? From Muni, a Muni's Karna's great quality of giving, and that is why in spirituality, even if you see in the third, sorry, in the end of Bhagavad Gita. Shri Krishna says, yajna, dana, tapa. These three don't give up. Yajna, offering. Danam, giving. Tapas, again, you know, consciously denying what you like, be able to gain that control. So when you come to spirituality, it is all about giving. But they are takers. But there are people who, very few people are there, the second category which I am going to say now, but they are there. The great gurus, they seem to be takers, but they are givers. They want to take from you to make you a giver. You start giving everything. All the unnecessary stuff that we have accumulated, give up. Not give up in the sense, fed up and give up. Not in that sense. Keep, like, you know, see, nature is teaching us. You breathe in and you breathe out. And you breathe out, for exception, you breathe. It's a recycle going on. This body also gets everything is recycling. This is also going in, coming out, going in, coming out. And then everything goes out. The body goes into the earth, recycles. It's all recycling. So that, you know, when you do that, it's giving. So there was this famous guru who was called as 1 rupee guru. All big devotees, multi-millionaires, the richest of the world. And he doesn't want anything. He leaves him. But anybody comes and takes his blessings and goes, he says, give me 1 rupee. Give me 1 rupee. Swamiji, you know, I know that you don't want anything. But what is this 1 rupee you are taking? They don't understand. What he's doing is making them give. We want to leave our footprint. We don't want to leave anything. Greatest sage like Ram Sita. Brilliant lectures. Where the guru says, I don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to communicate. Of course, Swami Ram Sita also says that, but he communicates it so well. Time the person asks him for his bank bill. Because they are paripurna. See, remember this. Jitna andar MDA utna chahiye. Utna attachment bada hoga. So the bada thing is because of your, the opposite should be, then you will say, what should I do? The opposite should be, jitna bada hai aapke paas, utna contribution bhi badhna chahiye. Utna contribution ke liye itna deserving hona chahiye. That is the right thing. Aapka contribution itna hona chahiye, for that you deserve this. This is not for you, not to pamper your ego. That is madness. Such a person can never be happy. So we do not know how to impart this. In that he has already said you can only, the way to take part of it is you become one in it. You jump in. Means what? Layer by layer throw all the conditions. Just become that. So when the Shishya becomes totally identified with the Guru, then the communication actually happens in silence. The words are like, you know, the hammer striking. When the hammer is striking the chisel, what does the chisel do? It removes the, what do you call, the unnecessary portion. So the Guru's work to remove the ego. Then, when the unnecessary extra portion goes, a beautiful Ganesha, beautiful Jesus Christ comes out of it. So, that's exactly what he means. We can't impart it in words. Don't look for it in words. The whole world is looking for it in words. You will not find it. You remember, I have given this example before. When they say Pita Ambara, Pita Ambara. Pita Ambara means yellow cloth. Pita Ambara means Mahavishnu, who is wearing the yellow cloth, Krishna. We understand that. The moment you are brought up in this culture, the moment they say Pita Ambara, you know it is Krishna. But literal word meaning, if you go, it is yellow cloth. You will be holding on to yellow cloth. We are all holding on to cloths, not the original. This is a problem. This is the irony. We are satisfied with cloths. That's not the point. You have to one with it. You do not think. So, eyes cannot reach it, means ears, nose, tongue, skin, nothing can reach it. Because it is that which envelops it. How can it reach it? It cannot. And you cannot know them, know it objectively. For this subjective apprehension, you know it yourself. You don't need any other source of light to know it. It is self-illumining. That's what it means. Prakasha Rupa. It is self-illuminating. The objects of pure knowledge is Atma. So that's what he says. So we do not know how to impart. By saying that, we have clearly explained to the Sishya, those who are ready, they understand. I need to jump into the total. Anything I try to find through my equipment, it will be past. And in past, there won't be life. Only in total, there is life. You take these eyes out, will there be life? Ears out, no life. Tongue, no life. But when it is all together, there is life. So if you want to know the total, then you have to become part of it. You should be ready to dissolve. But that's where the problem comes. Nobody is ready to dissolve. Everybody wants to know it intellectually. You cannot know it intellectually till you are ready to die. You are ready to die means not physical death. I'm talking about the death of ego. Till you are ready to for ego. But that is not easy. There are a lot of things you have to surrender. So, start small. What is that small? Simple practice. You want whatever you want for your distribution. Meaning, to the society, your work, keep it, and it becomes old, give it away and take the new one. If you're buying something new, old should go. Nothing goes. Keep on grabbing. This only shows that your foundation is not strong. Very poor quality life you lead. Quantitatively superior, but qualitatively poor, because that just cannot let go. So that's what he's imparting here. We do not know how to impart it objectively. You got to know it subjectively. If you have to know it subjectively, you got to go beyond all this. Whatever the eyes can fetch you, ears can fetch you, nose can fetch you, ears can give you information, knowledge, but go beyond that. Eyes can fetch you the object which you can see it. You have to go beyond that. You have got to drop all your attachments to all this. Then you will. You try to know it with some torch light, you cannot know it. We we should be ready to be without anything. So he says, Sarva Dharman Sarityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. He studied, no, in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamekam. Bhagavan wants us to be submitted at his feet completely. Then he will give himself fully. But we want part of it. You will not. You cannot. With your equipments, you can only touch the part. And that is not equal to whole, because the whole is completely different. That's what I told you. And everything put together, there is life. Separate, no life. So what is, science is going on cutting and analyzing and trying to know. In, through analysis, you should know that this world cannot give you that. And this method, you cannot know it. This you should know through analysis. And then you should drop the analysis also. Are you ready for that? No way. So in the world you need analysis. Remember what I'm saying. Don't go about when tomorrow you quote me wrong and say you only said no analysis and emotionally related to my friends and family finished me off. When it comes to worldly analysis, not analyze and know the truth. You may analyze and remove all the non-truths. Then ready to clutch. Then you'll know. So that's why when he declared that we do not know how to impart it, it means so much. That means the student now knows I have to get prepared. The very subtle knowledge, I need to become ready within to drop all this. If I try to know it externally, I cannot. So just the attachment to know it also is very good. See, when you are getting ready to sleep, not in the class, when you go to sleep at night. Now, you prepare your body, probably went for a walk and came, then had a warm shower, then had food, prepared your room, switched on the AC and everything. You go in and get into that the joy, and then you close your eyes. This much you can do. When exactly you fell to sleep, the thought you had to sleep, so you need to drop. But also you need to drop. Only then you will sleep. If you hold the thought, I must sleep, you cannot sleep. That also you drop. So when it comes to spirituality, it is dropping, it is giving, it is distributing. The more you drop, the more you give, the more you distribute, the more you partake of the whole. See, this is we understand. Instantly, today our life will change. Today our life will change. Not today, this minute, this moment. But to understand that is not easy. The fear is there, so much I did, so much I had to work hard to grasp it, now I have to distribute it. Not easy. And your logic will come. So you see, do we not have to give it to people who will use it? Of course we have to give it. Then, you have all these people don't know the value of it, then I have to give it to somebody who understands the value. All that is correct. But deep inside when you analyze, you just do not want to stop. Just do not want to. Not possible. When you go to this, I don't know whether you've been to this mandir in Kerala or especially Guruvayur. Oh, men should not wear that shirt. You can be anybody, doesn't matter. You remove the shirt, then you go in. Otherwise, not possible to go in. That's it. You made a rule. So, you've got to There's no discretion here in this self-realization. This is completely different from this. In this world, analysis. In that world, no analysis. It's synthesis. That is synthesis. This is analysis. So this is a part. This part by part, threadbare analysis is what to do. That's how the science goes. So in this, you do that. But that is what? To eliminate the matter. Then it's itself, it's synthesis. Not through intellectual understanding, questioning this thing. Then you got, yes, I got it. Now I got the self. You got nothing. You got the worst, stupidest self, you can say. Because if you thought that you got it, then. That's why he says, Guru himself is saying we do not know. How can you and me know? Intellectually you cannot know it. You can only become it. The individual cannot become the indivisible, retaining the individuality. Not possible. The very problem is that. That's the very problem. So I need to go. Nenu pote povachu. Remember that. Nenu. This in one, some of my classes I mentioned in a kingdom which was ruled by a Telugu king. He had a lot of wise counsels like all the kings. So he once asked them, is there anyone who can go to self-realization or about to get there or something? And the gentleman, nobody answered except one wise person answered in Telugu, Nenu pote povachunu. Nenu pote povachunu means I may go in Telugu, that's what it means. And there's a pun in the word, which means if the eye goes, then it is possible to go there. So in whomsoever the eye goes, then instantly it is there. So what is covering it? It's this eye. That eye ko tyag karne ke liye tayar hona chahiye. So in the Karna story again, why again that is, in the end, in one of the versions, it is like this. When Arjuna was shooting Karna with the arrows, when his wheel got stuck, he didn't want to shoot. Krishna said, what are you looking at? Simply shoot now. He shoots. Still he is not dying. Because all his punyas are saving him. His life is not going away. The subtle body is not leaving the gross body. A punya is saving him. Therefore, Krishna comes as a yachaka, means a brahmin. And then he says, give me all your punyas also. Karna gives that also. What you brought into this world, nothing you brought. And you do not want to let go. So all this that you have to be put to use for the total. Begin to live like that and see the joy. It's amazing. Put it back. So it's not that I should not use expensive things. Then you will become a lesser Swami. Not, nothing like that. It's not expensive. You are, the problem is, your mind values only money, no. You means, I'm not saying you, anybody is saying, that money, they value that. No, expensive. Yeah, expensive, non-expensive, somebody can use it for the cost. If for the cost, that's the best, and that's what they have given you, use it for the cost. Not that you are using it for you. It's a different thing. Totally different. It's not that you want to wear a gold mala. Gold mala means that less maintenance. So that you can, you know, utilize your time and energy for. Otherwise it's material. So material is quite immaterial. So, if at all it matters for this purpose only. So that, once I learn that, then I partake of the whole. Because I is not thinking for its safety, to hold this, to hold this, to hold that. That is the message he is giving here. One line is that we know it not, we do not know how to impart. We do not know how to impart because what we are experiencing is WHOLE, whole. How can I impart the whole? The whole. Are you WHOLE? Are you in parts? You are sitting there. You are coming with a small tumbler and I am trying to empty the ocean. Not even tumbler, but bottle lid. You are bringing a bottle lid to accept the ocean water. How can you accept? You have to first become integrated. As long as you are integrated. And then that you hand over. So become completely dissolved and experience the total. That is what he is saying. So those who are ready, they can take it from the Guru. Guru cannot impart it. For the ocean to be experienced, you got to be ready to dissolve this. This beautifully the Guru has communicated. So these are the important points here. Equipment cannot reach there. It is that which makes the equipment function. So with that equipment you cannot an object of objective apprehension. And the Guru therefore says, I do not, we do not know it. We do not know it doesn't mean he is not a self-realized soul. He or she is a self-realized soul. But they cannot communicate it. They don't know it objectively. And they don't know how to communicate it. We don't know how to communicate. Means the whole cannot be communicated because there is no equipment which can receive it. And then next verse. Anyareva tat viditadato aviditadati iti shushruma purvesham yena tat jyata chakshire anyareva tato aviditadati iti shushruma purvesham yena tat jyata chakshire. That indeed is other than the known, also beyond the unknown. This is another staggering statement. Anyat eva tat viditat ato aviditat. This verse is a fascinating verse. Viditat. Have we heard from the ancients who expounded that to us? Iti shushruma purvesha. Beautiful line, the second line especially, because the Guru also expresses his humility. He himself is a realized soul, but he doesn't say, I am thing. I am created. What you know? How can you write the highest? Nobody knows who is the author of Keno Purusha. We don't know. They don't care. Thus have we heard from the ancients. It is Shushruma Purvesha. Means he's talking about how beautifully it was handed down Guru Parampara. He's acknowledging the Guru Parampara. coming from ancients. These are traditional knowledge. That's what he said. Who expounded that to us? They are the ones who explained the scriptures in a particular order, in a particular way, and opened us completely to know the truth. So he's not arrogating the knowledge to himself or herself, the Guru. The Guru is simply saying it is coming, flowing like Ganges, time immemorial. So the first thing he says, that indeed is other than the known and the unknown. Now, the known means, there are three interpretations, it is given in the book also. See, the known the entire world, the entire macrocosm is known. The common, if you don't know today, you can know it tomorrow. But there is unknown. What is that unknown? If you see in Swamiji's book, he says the entire world, the matter component in the entire world is enlivened by the spirit component. That spirit component is not known. It's unknown. And we generally use the word spirit to mean Atma or Brahman. But here, he says, if the unknown is spirit or Atma, he says, I am even beyond that. But what we need to understand here is, I am beyond the known and the unknown. I am beyond this known world and the Mahatattvam that is supporting the world. The Ishvara. See, the concepts have to be clear. Brahman is Nirguna. No attributes. The potential Shakti is inherent in that Brahman. And when that Brahman identifies with the Shakti, you call it as Ishvara. And the Shakti is Maya Shakti. So the Maya is the unknown factor. So Brahman is beyond the Maya and the manifested world. His world is manifested from the Maya. So that's why in the sixth verse of chapter 4, he says, animating my own prakriti, I'm born again and again. So the known and the unknown. So the known, the entire world, the unknown, Maya. Brahman is beyond the known and the unknown. And also, even if you take it as a spirit, you say the spirit underlying the world. So you are always talking the spirit with reference to the world. But spirit is far beyond the world. So in that sense also it's beyond the known and the unknown. Then you come to the individual microcosm. In the individual microcosm, the known means the waking state and the dream state. The unknown is the deep sleep state of the Vasana. So this Brahman is beyond the waking, dream and deep sleep states. Beyond the gross, subtle and causal bodies. Then another interpretation for the known and the unknown. Whatever you know and whatever you don't know, both are enlivened by the same pure consciousness. I ask you, do you know my name? You say, yes sir, I know your name. I ask you, how do you know my name? I know your name. I know that I know your name. And I ask you, do you know my father's name? I don't know. How do you say that you don't know my father's name? I know that I don't know your father's name. So I know that I know your name. I know that I don't know your father's name. So this I know, you separate it. This I know, then two statements. What? I know your name, I don't know your name. I know that I know your name, I know that I don't know your father's name. So this Atma is what enlivens your knowledge, is what enlivens your ignorance. Consciousness is what enlivens all your knowledge in this world and all your ignorance in this world. It knows your knowledge, it knows your ignorance. It's beyond your knowledge and ignorance. That is Brahman. That's why he says, yes. Don't know it. Because world is made of objects, emotions and thoughts. The objects, emotions and thoughts are known. The vasanas are not known. But Brahman is beyond the objects, emotions and thoughts and the vasana. It's beyond the entire macrocosm and the maya. Anyat evatap. Anyat. Same thing we studied in the 15th chapter, if you remember. He says what? Purushottama. Uttama. Purusha. Sanya. Uttama Purusha. It is beyond all this. So when he says that it is beyond the known and the unknown, it's beyond the macrocosmic world and the maya. Which means what? Maya is subservient to it. He is not subservient to maya. So once you get that knowledge, you instantly know that you are truth. And you are also free. So to become free from maya, you become free from maya through knowledge only. Not possible with any other method. You are not tied physically. By knowing the truth about the truth, you know the truth about yourself. Once that click, the clicking pata nahi kitna saal ho. That depends on how you cleanse yourself. How you do sadhana and cleanse yourself. So that's why that indeed is other than the known and the unknown. Have we heard from the great masters, the ancients? So Guru Shishya Parampara, beautifully they have communicated. See, the concept has to be explained only up to the level which the student can take. You don't talk about trigonometry. The calculus to a 600 student. Don't talk. It's not there. You don't touch all, talk all that. Right? You won't even have to algebra or maybe algebra. But trigonometry, calculus, there are a lot more. Who's going to talk about all that? No. But when the student is taught algebra and all that, little bit he can see. Now, they come to certain standards, then you introduce calculus, trigonometry, everything. So there's a method in the whole. So that method in the madness has been followed traditionally because you cannot know it directly. You can't know it through inference. You can't know it through comparison. Atma is incomparable. So you cannot know it through pratyaksha, you cannot know it through anumana, you cannot know it through Upama. You can only know it through agami, agama, tradition. What is that? The guru comes down to the level of the student and then keeps on slowly lifting the vision of the student. Once the caterpillar understands that I am a butterfly, drops the thing and replies. It's instant. If it happens to you now, next week onwards you won't be there in the class. I know that you are realized. That's what it means. Anyat eva tat viditat tato aviditat. Fascinating. Beyond the known and the unknown. something that can be known. See, unknown can be known in future. This is unknowable. It's the very knowing principle which is unknowable externally. It is the knowing principle which makes you know everything, including knowledge and ignorance. So, therefore, the traditional path, you go to the Guru, you surrender, slowly, slowly the Guru works on you, then slowly as for your growth, spiritual field, he keeps giving you that vision. The purified mind, you get it and you realize it. You become enlightened. You don't give the motorcycle immediately to your son, no? You first give him the tricycle, then you give him the bicycle with those side wheels. And then he goes on doing it, riding, and he gets the confidence and you remove one wheel, but both wheels you remove. Then slowly, when he comes to a certain age, from motorcycle. Don't straight away give the motorcycle. So this is the traditional method I'm trying to say. Traditional method makes sure that you know your body, mind, intellect, everything is kind of taken care of. Then slowly they give you this. Once you feel that, then the whole thing changes. See, the whole thing is you are today thinking that you are in the world. But what the Upanishadic vision is, world is in you. Then they say world is not there in you. Everything dull in your head, madness. But all first you understand world is in you, then world also not there. But cut off. So it is to shuma puresham ena satya chatus. Thus have we heard from the ancients who expounded to us. Very slowly and carefully they expounded it to us, keeping our levels in mind. Because instantly we become impatient and say, I have a Guru himself doesn't know. That's why he's talking all these words. Let us get up and go. There's no point waiting and wasting our time here. The sooner we go, the better it is. If you try to know it through analysis, you try to know it externally, you will only touch the path. And the path means it's dead. It's not full. And you are on, and the whole world is attached to the dead words. The words are dead. And you listen, see, this is the difference between reading a book and listening to the life master. The master is alive, his words are dead. The moment it leaves his mouth and gone, it's dead. So all the books that you read are dead words. You are holding on to the dead words. That's why they say, you've got to go and learn from the Guru. Because he's alive. He's vibrating. So vibrant. His words are vibrant. Once it comes out of him and leaves him, it's dead words. So, ancients have communicated to expound that to us. How did they expound that to us? They clearly explained the meaning of the tat and tvam. You are at the moment thinking tvam means this, but actually tvam means pure consciousness. So think about that means this, but actually it is that pure consciousness. So internally you are one and the same, externally the difference. And then with all your sadhana and your purifying, you get that vision internal, subjective. And they tell you, it is your birthright, you don't have to depend on anybody. Till you have not internally known it, you don't have to depend on anybody and somehow declare that no. So So therefore, it is beyond the known and the unknown. It's beyond the entire macrocosm, beyond the Maya, it is Brahman. It is beyond the gross body, subtle body and the causal body, the Atma. It is beyond your knowledge and beyond your ignorance. It's the knowing principle which illuminates both your knowledge and ignorance. This is what this verse is saying. Let's conclude now. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kairavacha स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणाय समर्पयामि।